Let's do that hockey.
It can't be a one-man show out there. Gotta have all the boys involved. Gotta be willing to go to the dirty areas.
Hey, what's up, all you NHL and all you hockey fans? Kevin Weeks here. Just want to say welcome to the Power Play Podcast.
Ooh, welcome to another edition of the Power Play Podcast. I am your host, the one and only Vinny Milani, alongside absolutely nobody, and on the phone, absolutely nobody you think it is. On the phone, from View from the Wild, former producer of the Power Play Podcast.
Hey-o.
Host, not, are you a host now of KFN, the K-F-A-N, the fan in Minneapolis? Is that a thing?
I would say the title I like is producer, but that's I probably can't technically say that.
We're going to say on the show, though.
Yeah.
The producer of KFAN, the fan? What is it called?
K-Fan?
K-Fan? K-Fan in Minneapolis. He is
a lot of show prep here.
The man, the myth, the legend, Brett the producer. Hey. Welcome back to the show. How's it going, buddy?
Wild card.
Dude, that drop is the best drop on the show. Literally,
I love it.
It's unfortunate because it's like I normally throw that drop in there whenever Anthony's talking, so no one really gets to hear your little laugh at the end, and that's the best part. You just have that little
Did I just do it naturally? Just that.
It was perfect. It was perfect. I wish I could do it right now, but you're on the phone, so I can't really do that.
That's fine. So, yeah, the drops are moot at this point.
They are. They are.
No, I'm doing good. It's snowing like crazy right now. As we're recording this, I'm about to walk out into the blizzard and go watch a few NHL alumni play hockey outside down the street here in Minneapolis.
Must be nice.
I'll be sure to send you a bunch of videos. Here's the problem, though. You say must be nice. I had to leave my car at the station in the garage, so I didn't have to shovel it out to get to work tomorrow.
Oof.
So it's going to be – it's a whole thing. But there's pros and cons.
Yeah, we don't have any of that here. We're still sweating. No. I walked out at work. I was swimming in my own sweat the other day. So that
sounds
still
disgusting.
Nice. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. We've got a great show ahead of us, though, folks. Brett is back. He's returning. We have start, sits, call-ups. We have a great main event of the show. You're going to have to wait and see what the main event is. We're going to talk about rivalries, and it's going to get hot. But first, Brett, I need to ask you, quick question of the day. This might be a little new for you. We didn't have the quick question of the day back in the day.
All right.
What are your
– segment here.
It is. What are your – the question of the day is, what are your thoughts on the Adidas jersey so far – throughout this period that we've had them, they've dropped some All-Star Game jerseys. They've dropped a lot of third jerseys, Winter Classic jerseys, all this kind of stuff. What are your thoughts? Are you liking them, not liking them? What are you thinking?
So some of this we'll get into a little bit later, but overall, the majority of them I have liked. I've thought that the original ones have been really cool. Not so much the Stadium Series ones. Those have kind of been ugly a little bit. But, and again, some of this we'll get into later, but the grand scheme of things, I was satisfied when not every NHL team had three stripes. That to me was a win. I thought Adidas might be going that way of like having three stripes
on everything.
Oh, that would have really pissed me off, but, they didn't do that. I've liked them, in the sense of the team that I cover. I guess I can say cover now, right?
You do. Kind of. You do cover them.
The home greens for the Minnesota Wild are the most beautiful jerseys that the Wild have ever had. Those things are gorgeous.
Yeah.
Overall, I think they've done pretty well. I will say that some teams have gotten a little bit more love than others. Like some teams don't have third jerseys yet.
Yeah, the Rangers don't have third jersey yet. They were supposed to be debuting that something this year, but I haven't heard anything or seen anything about it.
Same thing with the Wild too. They haven't gotten a third jersey yet. So,
well, you guys are definitely going to have a Winter Classic jersey though.
Oh well, maybe we'll talk about that later.
We'll definitely talk about it later for sure.
Teases,
man.
But,
full of teases.
But overall, they've done well.
So if you were to give them a grade, what do you think in here? Like A, give them B, C?
I think B+.
B+? Yeah, I'm on the opposite end of this. I'm giving them – I'm going to give them a C+. I'll go C+. Because Anthony and I talked about this on last week's show. We were talking about the All-Star Game jerseys. And I just – I don't – I'm not –
They're bad.
It's like Anthony likes them. And he says that his reasoning was they're not as bad as years past. But that's like comparing like one turd to another turd. It's like they're still at the end of the day poop.
No, so, that's like comparing a murderer with a thief.
Exactly.
It's like, well, he's, at least he's not a murderer.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
He's still a thief though.
Exactly. You know?
And here's what I will say about the All-Star jerseys. I love that Adidas has done this and that they have the team-specific crests. I'm a huge fan of that. I think it makes them more individual. I don't like just the on the shoulder.
See, I'm on the opposite end of that one.
I love that. Because, I don't know, it just, to me, it makes more sense. It makes them more individualized. And you're still, like, a part of the same team. Like, you can tell. But I love that you're representing your home team on the front of your jersey. I just think that's a great idea.
That's a good that's a good take.
The execution of it this year has been garbage because they've been washed out by like this off gray that looks, why wasn't it like blue, like the blue or something,
I just don't, or yellow or gold,
I don't know.
I just don't get it because last year's was the same jersey. It's just this year they have stripes through the middle. It's literally the same jersey. It's just stripes through the middle. And they say the stripes are supposed to be like notes for the Blues. Like it's supposed to like give a throw, like a shout out to them. And I just don't get it. I don't see what they're doing here. I feel like you're gonna feature a certain jersey in your starts at call ups. So I'm not gonna get into it too much. But there was a jersey recently released that I am literally 50-50 on, and I don't know how to feel about it. And I'm hoping that if you do feature said jersey in your starts at call ups, I'm hoping it gives me a little bit more clarity on where I'm leaning towards here, because I just don't know what to think of it.
I don't know. I mean, maybe if you're a conspiracy theorist, you think that like the two stripes is like symbolic of the arch and the fact that in the geometry, it makes no sense.
St. Louis. Yeah. St. Louis has all that. St. Louis has lines in the streets or something.
They have bridges. So,
they've got bridges. Yeah. Connecting things. Yeah.
So that was lines do connect things. The lie.
Yeah. Ooh. That should be it. Oh, dude. You just gave me a sick show, a sick segment idea. We're going to debut Fact or Fiction eventually.
Baby. That's what I'm here for.
We're going to literally, that's going to be a segment for future shows, Fact or Fiction. That's such a good idea, dude. I'm literally writing it down in my notes right now. Like, that's a thing. So just stay tuned.
I will say I have heard segments like that before,
but not like ours. Exactly. And speaking of segments of our own, it is now time to move on to our starts, our sits, and our call-ups. And there's no need for a wild card drop because the man himself is here. Mr. Wild Card himself, Brett Blakemore, is here. Can we do that?
Let's not. Well, we don't need the wild card drop.
We don't.
Or the intro drop anymore because we are together.
We are.
Play the song.
I don't have it.
Load it up.
I don't have the song. I can't do that. Okay.
Go ahead. Give me a trumpet sound.
That was really, really bad.
Maybe we edit that out.
I don't edit anything out. I literally messed up like 20 times. If you listen to our show or watch our show from last week, I forgot what I normally say to end the show. I forgot.
If you ever listen to any one of my shows, I meticulously edit them. Like they will be perfect.
I couldn't do it. Anthony closed out the show, and mid closeout I interrupted him, and I was like, "Oh wait, I do remember now." It was a mess. I was fumbling everywhere. So start, sits, call ups here. Brett, take the lead here. Where are you going first? I hope you go in order, right? You normally go in order.
I will in fact go order.
What a beauty.
So we're starting, and we mentioned it briefly, and I know. I try to not homer too much, and I don't want to just turn this into an episode of the Wild show that I do.
And that is View from the Wild, which you can check out on iTunes, SoundCloud, Player FM, wherever you get your podcasts. He's there. View from the
Radio,
Wild.
Wherever you want. Not a big deal. I wasn't going to plug it, but thank you very much.
I'm full of plugs. You know I'm here for the plugs. Got to pay the bills.
But this is the one homer take. I'm starting the Winter Classic because the Winter Classic is coming to Minnesota, like about a mile away from my apartment.
You gonna go?
At Target Field. I will say that there's been a lot of talk about it on social about how, oh, the Wild aren't a good team, so why should they get the Winter Classic? You know, oh, I I would have much rather. I saw this, a real tweet from Jillian Fisher, you know?
Oh, no.
And she tweeted that, oh, I get Minnesota, but I would have rather seen Carolina and Washington in Raleigh. And I was like, why? Because to me, the Winter Classic is more about the experience than it is about an entertaining game. It's more about the spectacle than it is the two best teams. That's what Wednesday night rivalry is for. You know what I mean?
Yeah, at that point, it's just like you're – I think that's just a stretch. Like you saw a Winter Classic in Dallas this year, and you're just trying to stretch out the boundaries of where you can go. But, like, there's still some, like –
The one in Dodger
special.
Stadium, though, that was pretty cool, but that was because the spectacle of the entire event.
Yeah, you know I mean, I get that, but, like, I don't know. It's the thing is there hasn't been a Winter Classic in Minnesota, and I feel like that's one of the places that should have had a Winter Classic or some type of Stadium Series game in the past. It is about the pure hockey history and the fact that Minnesota is literally –
They did have a Stadium Series here.
Did they have a Stadium Series game?
They had a Stadium Series. It was in the Gophers football stadium. We played the Blackhawks, killed them 5-1.
That was a thing? shout out. Ooh, shots. So, bang, bang.
I can't say anything too bad because even the Blackhawks are ahead of the Wild right now in the standings. So it is what it is.
So,
but,
so with your start, I will ask this question here. Who do you want to see the Wild play in the Winter Classic?
I've gone back and forth on this a lot. I've thought about – I definitely – and no offense to a certain someone, but I don't think the Blackhawks are the move here. I think it's been done. I think the Blackhawks have been in so many outdoor games. I mean, everyone has seen it before. Will be a lot of ratings if they did.
Yeah.
Then the two contenders for me are the Winnipeg Jets and the Colorado Avalanche. If you're looking for rivalry, I think the new budding rivalry is with Winnipeg. They're the closest team to us, I think, by at least an hour, yeah. I think, from Chicago. There's this kind of new, like, right other sides of the border rivalry because they're pretty, you know, they're right there. And then Colorado is a classic rivalry, but also they've got the better team. And I know that, you know, I've been riding the Avalanche bandwagon for a while, so and I just think they got so many superstars, but to me those are the two rivals that I would like to see. I think if I had to pick one, I think I would go with Winnipeg.
I would say Colorado. I would love to see Colorado in a Winter Classic game with the Wild at that point.
They've got a Stadium Series
that's true
up,
that
so,
is true
we don't need so
or do we
Here are my sit, and I say here as in a plural because I have not one, not two, but not three, but four sit-ems this week. Four.
Holy crap. Four.
Here we go. Let's run through them.
That's unreal.
Lightning round.
There's no limit. Wait, can someone check the rule book here? Is there a rule that's saying
first what? First sit is Zach Kassian, and the things that he did, I'm saying it here first. I am a firm believer that in – you shouldn't be fighting someone who's an unwilling combatant. That's a rule that's in the rule book. And I know you want to get him back. I know that Tkachuk was taking some cheap shots. I understand that. There was still time left in the game. And you have to, if he's not willing to fight and throw down, you can't assault the man. Instead, what you do is take a number, wait until he has his head down, and clean his clock. But that is totally legal in the sense of the game. But you can't fight someone that's an unwilling combatant.
And then it led to the Flames scoring the game-winning goal in that game on the when they went on the power play because of that, they scored the game winner.
Just saying. My other sit, Brad Marchand, for dropping the puck, for losing his hands. I mean, I could sharpen my skates with his hands right now. I mean, they're horrifying.
Oh, man.
And obviously, if this somehow did get back to Brad, obviously he's an NHL player.
It's
and
me.
Not
it's right here. I'm Brad Marchand right here. That's me. That's me.
Obviously,
look at my nose.
When I say that his hands are bad, that's on the scale of NHL players.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So clearly he has better hands than me by a thousand.
I'm glad you said it that way because there's so many people that like will talk so much shit about that on like the internet and like they have no idea. They've never played the game
in their entire
life.
If I say Mitch Trubisky sucks – that means on an NFL quarterback scale.
I don't know. Pop Warner,
sucks.
I think he sucks too, buddy.
Well, man, we'll get that's none of my business. Anyways, my third sit, number three.
Number three.
Here's a real wild card.
Number three.
the Kings helmets on the Stadium Series jerseys.
Oh, the
They're
silver
like
ones?
Chrome silver. They look horrible. Ugh. They look like something you'd get on like an action figure. Ugh. They're disgusting. And finally, we talked about them already, but the fourth item is the All-Star Game jerseys. Again, I love the front crest. I love the idea that you're representing your team on your chest. However, the execution, not well done.
Definitely not.
And my call-up, and I know because I've read your start, sit, and call-up.
Yes.
Spoiler alert. So I know that, but I'm going to go in a different route.
That's my what happens when someone looks at the notes, Anthony.
Yeah, amazing, right? But my call-up is similar to yours, but in a different way. You have yours, but mine is the skills competition flat over. I love the skills competition. I don't know that some people just don't care or it doesn't mean anything.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. I will DVR that thing and watch it three times.
It's going to be so much fun.
I really wish that the Wild got someone more athletic than the same Stahl, Dubnyk, and Suter that we get every
year. Who's
your
all-star this year? Is it
Stahl this
Stahl?
Year.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, obviously, like, he's going to do probably the passing competition to get, like, third. So, I wish, like, Kevin Fiala would be there and do, like, the fastest skater or something. But, you know,
I will say this with the All-Star game too is that we've been seeing a lot of players back out of the All-Star game lately. Anthony and I talked about it the other day about how they're giving out one game suspensions for it. And I think it's great I'm okay with these guys dropping out because now we're starting to see guys that don't normally make it. I can't remember who it was that was Dougie Hamilton made it for Carolina and he got hurt. And now Jacob Slavin is going to replace them. And I'm like, hell yeah, Jacob Slavin's probably pumped up for this. It happened with John Scott. These guys that don't normally make it or you wouldn't think makes an All-Star game make it. These guys are playing for fun. These guys are a lot more exciting and happy to be there than the guys who have been there 20 times.
Yeah, and look, I don't know. I think the difference is with hockey is that it's much more, in my opinion, and there's just beer league player in Minnesota.
In ACHA my opinion, superstar.
Yeah, point of game, baby. in my opinion, it's a lot more easy to control yourself getting hurt in a casual game like that in hockey than it is football.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, the Pro Bowl, I understand people sitting out for that because it's very easy to just make a cut on a route and tear your ACL.
Yep.
Like, that's a totally possible thing. But the odds of an NHL player catching an edge and spraining his ankle, very few and far between,
so,
I would say.
So you're not on the side. You don't want to see players back out. You're not okay with that.
No. It loses. To me, the odds are the lowest in the NHL All-Star game compared to any other sport.
So what about the guys that want to take time off? They want to recover. Because like Alexander Ovechkin, for example, he was voted as a captain of the All-Star game for the Metro, and he backed out because he wants some time to recover and get ready for the second half of the season. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, he's going to get 60 minutes more of recovery then, more than he asked for.
Well, I mean, the All-Star game is a weekend. It's a full week. It's a Friday. You get there probably on Thursday or Friday. You'll be there for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then you're back out.
Suspended for a game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not like – it's a full weekend, but it's not a full weekend of strenuous activity. It's a vacation is what it is.
I don't know about that, man.
You show up to a hotel. You walk a red carpet. You just skate around with some buddies, and then you're telling me that he wouldn't hit practice ice one time.
I feel like it's more of like a it's still stressful. It's still a stressful time though, because I mean you have interviews, you have to skate, you have to skate twice. You have a bunch of appearances, media appearances that you have to do. I mean, you have travel. I mean, it's not as easy as most thing. I mean, I want to see the best in the game be there, but I understand the fact that these guys, 82 game season, these guys are trying to get ready. Like for Alexander Ovechkin's sake, he's getting older. He has a lot more to accomplish in the league, and he wants to do that.
Here's a perfect example. And I understand that what I'm about to say is different than the All-Star game because one actually matters and one doesn't.
Yes.
My point is that the Olympics this past time, none of the NHLers were there because they couldn't get a deal, blah, blah, blah. Did anyone care too much about the Olympics?
No.
Not yeah. really.
No, I mean, I definitely get that. You want your stars to be there, so you're...
And that makes it more worthwhile. Yes, I understand that going to the Olympics is more important than going to the All-Star game.
No,
but
I
what
mean,
my argument is... It, well, I'm not even saying that to you. I'm saying that to anyone who is arguing at their radio with me. It's more the fact that if you want something to be the best it possibly can be, the players have to be the best there possibly can be. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I definitely get that. And on the flip side of that, and we can table this after that. I think that you get those guys who haven't been there before, like Jacob Slavin, who's now replacing Dougie Hamilton. And these guys, like John Scott, for example, actually, you see these guys who are not normally there, who play with a little bit more energy and a little bit more fun and make the game a little bit more exciting to see. Now, I'm looking forward to that, and players like that going to be, hey, Brett is now putting my save the date on his fridge on FaceTime. No one can see this, but I can.
I appreciate you making it a magnet. That makes
it is.
My life very easy.
And it's got my dog on it, so it's great. And my beautiful face.
I've got the wild schedule right here, and then the save the date right there.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful things.
Can't believe you got your dog to sit for that long.
Dude, my dog's a saint, man. She's the best. So now we move on to my starts, my sits, and my call-ups. And speaking of the All-Star game, I am starting the All-Star game in general as a whole and the NHL for making the All-Star game weekend even more interesting and fun than it has been in years past. Last year, they included Kendall Coyne, who competed in the fastest skater competition, and they included a few other women's hockey players to compete in things of the skills competition to make it a little bit more interesting. This year, they have gone to the next level and added a women's 3-on-3 Team USA versus Team Canada battle. During the skills competition, we will see stars from both Team USA and Team Canada battle it out. It is going to be so much fun to see. And the fact that the NHL has gone out of their way during a time in women's hockey where we are at it's a very tough time in women's hockey because there have been a lot of women's hockey players who have not participated in their pro leagues to boycott what women's hockey is right now. They want a more professional league for both Canada and U.S. women. The NHL sees this, takes advantage of it, grabs literally the best U.S. and Canada women's hockey players out there and has them compete in a 3-on-3 skills competition. This is going to be the best moment of the All-Star game. I'm telling you right now. This 3-on-3...
Would you be okay with, instead of doing this, just having a longer NHL All-Star game coverage and adding these two teams into the tournament?
I don't think I'd be okay with that. I don't think
would it be entertaining?
It would be a lot more. It would be very entertaining. It would be a nice little curveball into the whole weekend. It would be. I wouldn't be opposed to that, okay? I wouldn't, okay? Brett's getting naked over here, boys. On the pod. This is the only time people will regret not being able to see this on YouTube. Brett getting
that's
changed.
Not true.
So no, I'm starting this entire All-Star game weekend mainly because of the fact that they've taken advantage of the downtime for the Women's Hockey League and putting the 3-on-3 skills 3-on-3 game during the skills competition. And I'm also starting the fact that they added that trick shot challenge. I don't know if you saw this.
I did. I love it.
But literally, for those who have not seen it, they've added a new game to the skills competition. It is called the Shoot for the Stars Challenge, and skaters will literally be elevated on a platform in the crowd, and they will be shooting pucks from the crowd into little nets on the ice above the crowd. They are above the crowd. There's going to be a net for those who are freaking out about the fans being hurt in this. They're going to have a net above all of these fans, and players are going to be shooting pucks over them to try and to get into nets on the ice. The NHL has gone to great lengths this year to make their All-Star game weekend fun. This has been a problem in every sport, the fact that their All-Star weekends are not as exciting, people are not as tuned in, and this right here is a job well done by Gary Bettman and the crew to make this All-Star game fun. I'm definitely starting it.
You know what they're missing? I wish that another part, because this move has taken the game by storm this year. I think there needs to be some form of Michigan challenge.
Oh.
Okay. Because that would be crazy. This is the first year that Svechnikov hit one, and then everybody started doing it.
Yeah, Phil Forsberg got it.
In the NHL. I'm waiting for it to be in Chell, honestly.
Oh,
that,
man.
That would be great.
I'm waiting. Chell.
So what if they had, like, targets in the net where, like, you have to come around, do the Michigan, and you have to pot it into, like, a mini net within the big net?
That'd be pretty
I'm
sick.
I'm just saying – these things could happen, but
I'm
step in the right direction.
Gary Bettman is definitely taking a step in the right direction with the skills competition and making it a lot more entertaining. I would not be surprised if we see a lot of Michigan shenanigans during. We'll probably see the Michigan pulled out a lot during the actual All-Star game itself. That's going to happen.
Might as well, yeah.
Definitely. So I'm starting the All-Star game and the skills competition and all the new additions here. I'm sitting.
Wild card.
I know. I'm going in order here, buddy. This is not Anthony. Anthony goes out of order. It drives me nuts.
I just had to say it once.
Wild card. Oh, Brett. The live in person, the wild card drop.
Live thousands of miles away.
Miles and miles away. Yeah. So I'm sitting the Vegas Golden Knights, and I'm sitting their coaching move that they made this past week in firing Gerard Gallant and hiring immediately – former head coach of the San Jose Sharks, who has fired this season, Pete DeBoer. This is a move that I am absolutely just – it came out of nowhere. Gerard Gallant's an All-Star game coach, by the way. He's supposed to be coaching in the All-Star game.
Yeah, the last two seasons, I think the statistic was there's been 18 firings in the NHL this season and last season.
And none of them have been Jeff Blashill of the Detroit Red Wings, by the way.
Scope of this, I'm of the belief that making these changes, like the odds of you drastically changing your season, like the Blues did when they hired a new coach and they got rid of Mike Yeo, who's a bum, and they got rid of him and won the Stanley Cup. The odds of that happening are so dramatically slim, and I feel like there's so many people out there that are like, oh, well, this person needs to get fired because we lost 6-2 tonight, so he needs to get fired.
We can be this year's Blues, man.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I was saying that earlier this year, but I think kind of ironically, too. But people think that just because you make a move, then all of a sudden everything's going to turn around. Like if a team starts to tank and then they get a first-round draft pick, but he doesn't turn out to be anything, you're just back to tanking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, nothing is guaranteed in this league to where a move is going to save your season.
Yeah, this game is different than any other sport. It doesn't happen like that. I mean, the chance of it being them being the Blues or any team being the Blues of last year are very slim. And hot take, maybe not a hot take here, but the St. Louis Blues are the best team in the National Hockey League, by the way.
They're really good.
They're the best team in the league.
And Tarasenko's not even playing.
Exactly. But I'm sitting this move because they brought in Pete DeBoer, who was the former coach of the San Jose Sharks, who was fired this year, and they literally go from Gerard Gallant, All-Star game coach, to Pete DeBoer, who is a coach who already got fired this year. And Gerard Gallant, this is really his first rough patch he's been in Vegas going through, and Vegas pulls this move, and it's like, what? I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to do this move. Nashville did the same thing last
week.
People
like change, Benny. People think that change is going to be their savior.
It's mind-blowing.
Or like people here in Minnesota who are calling for Bruce Boudreau's head.
He needs to go.
Well, you're biased against him.
He sucks.
For those who aren't a Rangers fan and biased, it doesn't – for them calling for his head doesn't make any sense because there's no name on the street. I don't care about Gallant anymore. That, to me – all of them are NHL caliber hockey coaches, and none of them are going to drastically change your team and make you. I think it's all about mojo and the right momentum, and it's not that indicative of coaching. The Wild, back in when the Stadium Series happened, I think 2014, they fired Mike Yeo and they hired, they brought up the guy from Iowa, Torchetti. Do we know where John Torchetti is anymore? I think he's an assistant somewhere now. And they rallied the season and made the playoffs that year.
Yeah.
And do you think it was because John Torchetti was the great coach who took them to the playoffs? Absolutely not. It's all momentum. It's all, you know, just mojo and the team chemistry.
Yeah, I mean,
so going back to the Knights, it doesn't make any sense.
And that's also, it doesn't make any sense because the whole mojo thing too. Vegas hired the guy who was literally their biggest rival. Their biggest rival the past two seasons in San Jose. Is that snow? Are you pulling out snow right now?
Yeah, there's snow stuck in my window right now.
Live on the pod, snow.
Yeah. I'll just throw it on my radiator real quick. Get some moisture in the air here.
Moist. So I'm sitting Vegas for their awful coaching move. And I am calling up. It's funny because your starts at call up featured the All-Star game and Brad Marchand. And my starts at call up is also featuring the All-Star game and Brad Marchand. I'm calling
I texted
up.
You. I said they're good picks.
I'm calling up Brad Marchand, though, because I'm calling up Brad Marchand and I'm also calling up David Pastrnak for last
I'm
night's
game. I'm calling
up
an exterminator. That's what I'm calling up.
Oof. Oof.
He's a rat.
Well, they're getting rid of the tough guys in the NHL, so you're not going to get your exterminator, buddy.
God, I hope so.
So, no, I'm calling up Brad Marchand, though, because he needs this. He needs this call-up because right now he's going to listen to the show. He's going to hear this and say to himself, oh, my God, he's so right. I need to be called up. And he's going to get his mojo back, and he's going to come back and score probably 50 goals after the All-Star break.
Did you see what he tweeted? Is this Marchand we're still talking
about?
Yeah. Did you see what he tweeted?
He tweeted the saying that he needs to find. Will someone return his hands?
Yeah,
it's so
that
great
was really
too.
Funny.
The
I'll
way
give him that. That
the
was
way
really
he's
good.
Handling this too is like because did you see he tweeted out like him lifting the Stanley Cup after his shootout moment, and then some guy started chirping him, and Brett Marchand actually replied to him and said something about how the guy like actually sucks and doesn't play hockey, and like Brett Marchand's still making millions of dollars and shit like that. So. Either way, Brad Marchand's
the
man.
That's a rough moment, though.
I'm calling Brad Marchand up for this reason because he's going to listen to the show. He's going to listen, get 50 tucks after the All-Star break.
Got to be able to pick up the puck.
And I'm also calling up David Pastrnak because last night the Bruins were playing Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh pulls their goalie for an empty net, and David Pastrnak and Brad Marchand get a 2-on-1. And instead of Pasta shooting and scoring the easy goal, he feeds it to his boy Brad Marchand, and Brad Marchand gets the tuck, and it's just a real team player moment right there. It's a team moment. He's like, okay, my boy's on the schneid right now. He needs a little pick-me-up. I'm going to feed him the puck, get the empty net goal tuck. Boom. Bada-bing, bada-boom. Get my boy back on track. Now, Brad,
it's like that.
You heard it here first, folks. Brad Marchand, 50 tucks between the All-Star game break and the Stanley Cup Finals. 50 goals. 50 goals. That's our start. That's our sit. That's our call up here. It is.
50 total?
50 total. No.
Like on the season.
No. 50 between the All-Star break and the Stanley Cup Finals because they're going to win the Cup.
Wow, I wish I could take you up on a beat-ups bet for that.
Dude, Anthony shot himself in the foot last week with beat-ups bet. He bet that Dallas is going to play Philly in the Stanley Cup Finals. Like
This is the same guy who thought the Canadians were going to make the playoffs last year.
No. He did not just think the Canadians were going to make the playoffs. He thought the Canadians were going to win the Stanley Cup last year. That was his take. And they didn't even make the playoffs. So that was our starts. That was our sits. That was our call-ups. It is now time for the main event. We were talking about the Vegas-San Jose rivalry a little bit when I was talking about the fact that Vegas brought in Pete DeBoer. And rivalries is what this main event is all about. I'm going to ask Brett, the man himself, Brett Blakemore, Mr. Celebrity, I want to know from you, what do you think the best rivalry in hockey is today? We're going to put a poll up out on Twitter, by the way.
That's really tough. There's a lot of good ones. I do think people make a mistake, and yes, I am partially stalling to make up my decision, but I do think people make a mistake in saying like old rivalries that don't really exist anymore, like the Avalanche and the Red Wings, you know, or when's the last time that you've seen Boston and Montreal in a big game?
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't exist. I don't know that there's one clear cut maybe Pens Caps off the top of my head, but even then, like, they kind of just respect each other at this point.
I would choose the one I was just talking about, the San Jose Sharks and the Vegas Golden Knights, because in the past two years, we've been able to see both these two teams absolutely go at it in the playoffs with all out brawls. Ryan Reeves and Evander Kane have a personal feud with each other. They're in the WWE right now, cutting promos on each other. It's fantastic. And now Vegas hires the former coach of the San Jose Sharks in hopes to try and get their season back on track. And if they just so happen to get their season back on track, how do you think this is going to only add fuel to the fire that is a great rivalry between the San Jose Sharks and the Vegas Golden Knights?
You know what's a good rivalry too? Well, one, and this is not the point I was going to make, but revive the Battle of Alberta.
Oh, that's a man.
I'm looking forward to a lot of those matchups. But what I will say is I think a huge rivalry right now is Toronto and Boston. The fact that – but it reminds me a lot of the Wild and the Blackhawks earlier this decade, because Toronto can just not get past them to save their lives. And they've got so much talent, not a lot of defense, and so much talent, and they just cannot – no matter what they do, they can't beat them.
Yeah,
and you know that's going to boil over at some point or another.
And they meet so often in the playoffs. The way the playoffs are formatted, they always seem to meet somewhere in round one or two, and it's always a great series, back and forth battles, lots of physical play. That is really that would be my number two rivalry in the league right now, is Toronto Boston, just because of the pure fact that they always seem to end up meeting in the playoffs. And it like I said with the other one, it fuels that fire, that hatred. And you talked about the Rangers Islanders the other night. You actually tweeted at me when the Rangers and Islanders,
yeah, how about that,
two fights in a row. And then the Rangers, by the way, they played twice. The Rangers beat them both times. Just saying. Rangers are back, baby. Rangers Stanley Cup.
I wish that logic held up, because the Wild just finished off a sweep of the Tampa Bay Lightning, and I can guarantee you we're not winning the Cup. Ooh. So I wish that was the case, but no. To me, hockey rivalries are like 75% we play in the playoffs all the time, and like 25% geography.
Yeah.
And that's really the main reason why Wild fans like me hate the Blackhawks, or Avalanche fans hate the Wild, because we eliminated them a couple times where they felt like they had really good teams.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just – that's really what it comes down to. That's the only reason that Boston and Montreal – why do you think they had a rivalry?
Well, they were both in the Atlantic.
Well, yeah, but the playoff matchups back in the day with PK in them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when was it Chara that drove Pacioretty through the – like on the end boards? Like, you know how the boards meet the – or when the boards meet the bench, and they had that turnaround thing, that whole thing happened. And turnbuckle. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I guess it's yeah. Now it's a turnbuckle.
Yeah.
Wrestling terms. Oh, dude, I got Anthony I'm Your Poppy shirt for Christmas because he's about to be a father. Oh, that's great. So that was our main event of the show. We're going to tweet out, though, a poll, and you guys are going to let us know what you guys think is the best rivalry in the league. That's at the Power Play Pod. Let us know what you think. There's going to be four options, and then if you don't see an option that you like there, tweet at us. Let us know.
Honorable mention, maybe Penn's Flyers.
Yeah, that's another good one. They always seem to meet in the playoffs, too, and then they're also geographically, like, I mean, the closest teams. Yeah.
Honorable mention, Caps and Hurricanes.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's another good one.
Rangers Flyers.
Yeah. You guys don't like.
We hate Philly. I don't think there's a team in the league that I hate more than Philly. Like, if I ever like had to choose, I don't ever really want to root for Philly at all. Ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
And I will say who could forget the Devils and the Rangers?
Oh, yeah, it's another one.
That was a good one.
It's good.
And then if I had a homer pick, last one, if I had a homer pick, I would say the call-up of rivalries is Winnipeg and Minnesota. I'm just saying, watch out for that. That's probably –
it's going to come hot? You think that's going to be what's going to be at the Winter Classic?
I do.
You do?
I really do.
You think that's going to happen?
Either that or Colorado, yeah.
Yeah. That'll both be good games. And little,
just not the Blues.
Little side note, ECHL rivalry here. The Jacksonville Icemen and the Atlanta Gladiators have been a big big rivalry. And you know, in the East Coast League, they fight like every game. So that happened, like that makes it a lot more. Like the rivalry actually exists more. Because you play the same teams over and over again.
He's not in the continent anymore.
He's in China, or he's in like Japan, or China. Sorry.
Yeah, he's playing with KHL.
Either with a lot of NHLers though, man. There's a lot of former NHLers in the K right now. So, either way though, that was Starts His Call Ups. That was our main event. Quick question of the day. That was the man, the myth, the legend, Brett Blakemore.
I'm gonna go freeze my ass off and watch some NHL veterans play hockey.
Must be nice. Must be nice, buddy. Must be nice. On that note, folks, for Brett Blakemore, I am the one and only Vinny Milani. Don't forget to follow us on all social media platforms at the Power Play Pod. That's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We are available all over the podcast world. Subscribe. Let us know what you think of the show. For Brett the producer, I am the one and only Vinny Milani. Thank you and have a good night.
Tell Vinny to let me on the show more often. Okay. Everyone, message Vinny. That's his fault. I want to do it.
I mean, he's not wrong. Thank you guys so much. Have a good night or day.
Love you,
whenever you're listening.
Boom!